This is Jazz of Enchantment, a radio series spotlighting just some of the talented jazz players with ties to New Mexico. I'm Paul Ingalls. Alto saxophone master Frank Morgan, now in his mid-70s, knows a thing or two about making the most of a second chance. The former New Mexico resident knows the meaning of gratitude, too. He even labeled a track on his 1989 CD release, Gratitude. And if you play that track, you won't hear Morgan play a note on his sax.
I would first like to thank you, the listener, for saving my life.
Jazz fans threw Morgan a lifeline in the mid-1980s when he emerged from a 30-year struggle with heroin addiction. His devotion to drugs pulled him away from budding stardom in the rich Los Angeles jazz scene and landed him in jail for many years. Once he came clean in the 1980s, Morgan's gift for playing came rushing back, as did the public's attention. Since his 1985 reintroduction CD called Easy Living with the Cedar Walton Trio, Morgan has issued nearly 20 well-received albums of music and played in most of the top music clubs and halls. Even a stroke in 1998 hasn't stopped him from writing a new wave of critically acclaimed sessions and appearances. Before leaving his adopted home of Taos, New Mexico in late 2005 for his birthplace, Minneapolis, Minnesota, Morgan talked with Roy Durfee about his turnaround.
Central factor of it all was that I was tired, you know. I was tired of being a damn fool to the extent that I would spend my life in prison, you know, and not, you know, ever have seen New York. I didn't even see New York until I opened at the Village Vanguard in 1986.
That must have been quite an experience.
Oh, that was awesome. I don't even know how I survived that day. I mean, I was, you know, was being chased around with, you know, by CBS Sunday Morning, and the Associated Press was doing a big thing on me, you know. Not that I regret any of it. I mean, it's just, damn, it was just awesome. I mean, it doesn't really describe it, you know.
Well, Frank, tell me a little bit about how you think your music has evolved. I mean, I guess you recorded your first record in 1955, and then it was your last recording for 30 years. Did you feel different about your playing when you hit the Village Vanguard finally in 1986 than you'd been feeling on Central Avenue in 1955?
Well, yeah. I mean, I felt like a brand new kid. When I finally got to New York, I felt the responsibility of it, you know, to get it together, you know.
How did you manage to hook up with such an outstanding ensemble as Cedar Walton's Trio right out of the box, so to speak?
They asked me, within reason, what rhythm section would I like to record with, you know. I told him one of the people I'd never met, but certainly liked to play with was Cedar Walton, and not realizing that by having Cedar, it gave me the ability to have Billy Higgins right out of the box, and to have whoever was currently playing bass with Cedar Walton's Trio.
So it doesn't get a whole lot better than that, but
no, I mean, it's just. I mean, I've always felt that I need all the help I can get, you know, so several dreams realized at one time. It was frightening, too, you know, Roy. It was just, it was really frightening because, you know, like, it brought me right into the now, you know.
Uh-huh. That was quite quite a jump.
It isn't easy to deal with success after you've been, you know, so excellent at failure, you know.
Failure didn't seem like it was in the cards for Morgan early on. Young Frank was being groomed to follow in the footsteps of his famous dad, jazz guitarist Stanley Morgan, until he got his head turned around by the saxophone of Charlie Parker.
When Charlie Parker stood up to take his first solo, my father said that I said to him, that's it for the guitar, Pops, you know. that's what I want to play.
So is it true that Duke Ellington invited you to go on the road with him in the late 40s when you were still in high school?
Well, I auditioned for Duke when I was 15. Ray Nance took me at audition for Duke, and he begged my father to let me go on the road with him, and my father said, you know, that I needed to go to school, you know. And Duke said, well, you know, I have several doctorates, and I'll be his tutor, you know. And my father said, that's what I was afraid of, you know. When I auditioned for Duke, there were like six ladies in waiting in the dressing room, you know, and he was holding court, you know. And I guess that's what my father was saying, you know, I'd be exposed to a little too much, because as I look over my life, I may have had too much too soon. It's just great. It's just great to be alive. I'm lucky to be alive.
I've seen you in performance many times, most recently just down in Truth or Consequences. And you even had high school kids lining up to have their picture taken with you.
Oh, that's great. That's so beautiful. I mean, they make me cry all the time, you know. I mean, really, I'm just a happy old man.
Frank Morgan was interviewed by Roy Durfee. To learn more about Frank Morgan and to hear more of our interview session, visit our website, newmexicojazz.org. That's newmexicojazz.org. For more profiles of jazz musicians with New Mexico ties. Support for the series comes from the New Mexico Humanities Council, the City of Albuquerque's Urban Enhancement Trust Fund, Good Radio Shows Incorporated, and KUNM. I'm Paul Ingalls.